see you. Psalms 37. Debbie, I know you can't now, but I can't wait till the day you can get on this piano and play and sing us a song. Man, I can't wait till that day happens, because I miss having you on there and singing that song, and you've got a beautiful voice. And Psalms 37. I'm glad the Lord raised up Sister Smith to shoot the gap and stand in the gap, but it'd be great if Debbie could come one time and just sing one song for us. Wouldn't it be great? And someday you let me know when you can, Debbie. And that'd be very special. I'm glad the Lord loves us. Amen. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So special. I'm glad you don't have cancer too, Wes. That's great. Look at Psalms 37. Psalms 37. I preached on a Genesis 37 Sunday night, but I kept saying Psalms 37. And so I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to preach Psalms 37, I will. But Genesis 37 is the one you told me for tonight on Sunday night. And so I said, Lord, I'll do it Wednesday if you let me do it. So, all righty. Are we ready for Psalms 37? Psalm of David. Notice, I'm just going to read 8 verses, and then I'm going to take what we call expository preaching. I'm just going to go verse by verse. And there's six major thoughts in these first 8 verses that I see. There could be way more than that, but I picked out 6 major thoughts out of the first 8 verses, and I'm going to share those thoughts with you tonight. Notice verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger." I told Rose I gotta quit watching Ohio State football because I get too mad. I expect Cleveland to lose so I don't get mad, but Ohio State, you know, I get mad. So I told him I'm gonna quit watching them for a while. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Boy, that's a big verse. Father, we thank you for the precious and holy word of God. Lord, I'm glad to see Debbie and the folks here tonight. Give us a good night in the word of God. And Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you for all the testimonies. Thank you for the warm spirit of the people. Please come down and meet with us now in the word of God. Help me, Father, fill my heart and mind with all the thoughts you want from heaven. Give me health to stay up to be able to speak, I pray. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to share 6 things with you from these 8 verses. Look at verse 1. The first truth I want to talk to you about is fret not. Notice it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. You know, a lot of times, I wrote, many times we worry and we let other people distract our lives. And it stops us from going forward for Christ. Don't worry about other people. Just worry about you and God. Worry about focusing on God. You know, don't worry about what other people are doing. Just focus on what you should be doing for the Lord. A lot of times I think Satan uses people doing evil things to distract us, to keep us from doing good things. If we're so concerned about them doing wrong, we never do right. How many are with me? And so let them go. Be busy about his work. Lord, what would you have me to do? Too many times we're worried about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Just do what you can do. Amen? Just focus on what you should be doing for the Lord, and you will quit fretting over what those other people are doing. I believe the work of God is hindered many times because we worry about what other people are doing or not doing. Well, they're not doing this, preacher, or preacher, they're doing this. Quit worrying about that. Just say, God, what do you want me to do? And Lord, help them, to show them right. But Lord, help me to focus in. You know, there's a lot of these things in life that can distract us from. I wonder how many, when we get to heaven, Brother Rich, I wonder how many people could have got saved if all the Christian people, and me included, would have not been distracted. You can be distracted by people. You can be distracted by food, by sports. Hello. There's a lot of different things you can be. Race cars. How many are with me? I mean, there's a lot of things in life that takes our focus off God and puts it on. Like when I was younger, I had a really battle about not playing sports. I love playing sports. And I had a focus on going to Bible college, had a focus on, and I had to stop doing some of that and focus on what I was supposed to be doing. And so when a lot of times you wonder, how did I get taken off the path? Because you took your focus off the path. How many are with me yet? And so keep your focus on the path for God. And note also in that same verse, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For boy, I get this all the time, man. I've been pastoring for 40-some years now, about 34 years, but I've been in the ministry for over 40-some. Neither be thou envious against workers. I have heard people say, down through the years I've been dealing with people, I've heard people say, preacher, I don't get it. We live for God, and God don't do anything for us. Those people are wicked, and they seem to be prospering all the time. How many of you ever heard that? I mean, what's the use, preacher? I sell out for God, and look at me. Look at them. They're as evil as the devil, and they're prospering off unbelievable. God said, don't look at those people with envy. Don't look at those people with envy. And by the way, most of your Hollywood stars are lonesome. They're depressed. A lot of them commit suicide. Just being a millionaire doesn't make you happy. Watch the people, especially the rock stars, who they're all drugged up and stuff like that. They're not happy. Money doesn't make you happy. It just pays the bills. How many are with me yet? Now, I'd like to be happy and pay the bills at the same time. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I think a lot of times Christians get caught up, man, I'm trying to live for God. I can't even make my house payment. And I understand what you're saying to me because it's rough. And look at that guy. He don't even read his Bible, and he's not serving God, and he's doing against. And look how they prosper. I wonder if I should I do bad and maybe I'll prosper. You know what? You might prosper for a short time, but it won't be for good. How many are hearing me today? Don't look at the world with envy. The world should look to you with envy, because we've got it all, Billy. Look at that verse 2. For it goes along with verse 1. For these people that are workers of iniquity that you're envious over, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. I'm going to tell you right now, those very people that sometimes the world gets caught up in and envying, hey, they're one heartbeat from hell forever. They're one day from committing suicide. I mean, every day you hear about all these stars commit suicide. What's wrong? Because they have an emptiness in their life. Only Christ can. There's a void in everyone's heart. There's a void in everyone's life. And if they don't have Christ, that void stays there. I'm going to tell you, when you aren't saved, you're empty. And you can take all the trips and do all the things you want, but after a while, that little joy is only there for a short moment. But that void of Christ never gets filled. How many are with me? How many know what I'm telling you? Don't envy those people. Pray for those people to be saved, because those people are one heartbeat from hell, and they're not as happy as you would think they are. Believe me, with all their money, they're not as happy as you without the money. And so, don't be envious of them. But look at the. I heard people say people don't get. I don't get it. We live for God, but the Bible goes on and says, but look at those evil. It doesn't seem fair, but I'm gonna tell you. It might not seem fair, but I'm gonna tell you. I wrote this down. They have a day of judgment and reckoning coming. They have a day of judgment and reckoning coming, and they shall soon be cut off. The Bible says there in verse 2. So, get caught up in the things of God. Don't worry about the world. By the way, I didn't have this planned, Carl, but by that verse there, you should write 1 John 2:15. It says the lust of the world, the lust of flesh. Let me read that to you. I didn't have that plan. It just came to me, and I think the Lord wants me. I'm going to go back. Hold your hand there. Don't lose Psalms. But I'm going to go to 1 John. I think it's 2:15. Yeah. Love not the world. This goes along with what we're saying there in Psalms. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. And so don't envy those people. Pray for them that they be saved and know the great joy that you know. Look at verse 3, number 2. Number one, fret not. Number 2, look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now. You know what the trouble with our life sometimes? We trust in the world instead of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. How many's hearing me? Trust in the Lord. Let him be your Jehovah Jireh. Let him be the Lord that sees and provides. Are you with me? Many times the Christians do the, and we've all done it, every one of us. We get so caught up and we get overwhelmed with things. We don't trust in the Lord. And we begin to try to trust in the world. And if you trust in the world, you're going to be defeated, because the world don't have the answer for you. Trust in the Lord. So what do I trust the Lord in? Everything. Every aspect of your life. Trust in the Lord. How many see that in verse 3? Trust in the Lord. And then look at the next thing. Go along with trust. Do good. Do good. That's what we need to learn to do. Do good. Do good. Instead of doing bad, do good. Boy, it's quiet in here. Do good. I mean that. Go and make the cookies and bring me a couple in. That's do good. No, I don't do that. My sugar, I'm having a real bad trouble. My sugar's over 300 today. It's real bad. I don't know why, because I've been doing everything. I have not been eating bad. It's been high, real high today. So, but do good. Dale Robinson, obey your wife and do good, or you're going to be in trouble. I know, because I have a wife too. If you don't do good, we're going to be in trouble, Dale. Both of us. Do good. You know what? It's better to do good all the time. Sometimes we think it's easier to do bad and not to do good, but it's not. It's not. A lot of times the world, we're like old Satan with Eve. Come on, this is a better way to go. This is what God said. No, come on, do this. No, just stay with God's word and do good. Amen? We need to trust in the Lord and do good. And notice what it says there. If you do good, if you trust in the Lord and you do good, look what it says there. thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, God said, I'm going to take care of you. Amen? How are we going to make it? We're going to trust in God. What's God going to... Preacher, you understand? We're going to run out of water. We're going to run out of food. No, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I'm going to just trust him anyways. I used to have 500 gallons of nitrogen. I used to have tons, and I still have a little water put back. But I used to have tons because I was going to try to give water to all the... I was afraid we were going to run out of water here, and the people wouldn't have water, and I would fill my whole basement up with water. And finally, the Lord said, you know what? Why don't you just let me take care of that? I think I can do it better than you. People walked my... water was up to my ceilings and all kinds of stuff, and they said, what's wrong? I said, well, I got to have water in case... I know they're going to come to me, and I got to have water for them. No, that's a good thought that the preacher loves you like that, but that's a stupid thought that he thinks he's going to store enough water for all of us. I think I'm going to get rich and the boys to go out there and work on that water and that well out there on our property. That's where God will say, go out to the land. Go to the land. There's an underground water there. That's where you get your water at. What are you bottling it for, preacher? I got it on store out there in the land. Stupid. We do a lot of dumb... You ever think of the dumb things we... I look back and I think, man, am I dumb? I know you guys don't ever do that, but... some of the things I look back and I think... I watch
TV. I don't watch a lot of TV. If the sports ever go off of TV, I might not watch any TV. But I do watch one show with Rosie. I think it's called NCIS. I don't see it. But this one guy, when this guy messes up, he hits him in the back of his head. Gibbs, I think his name is Gibbs. He hits a guy in the back of the head every time he messes up. I'm amazed, Rosie, don't pat me in the head. Or God says, Rosie, hit him again in the back of his head. He needs a Gibbs hit. You know, we do a lot of stupid things in our lives. You know, and the older you get, the more you think, oh, my lands, I can't believe I did that. Hello. Can anybody relate to me tonight? But God says if you do good and trust in him, he'll take care of you. Then look at the verse 4, and that's number 3. I'm talking about 6 things that God's in these first 8 verses. Delight thyself also in the Lord. You know, I don't think many people do that. I really think a lot of Christians, oh, you go to church and you sing the songs. But do you really delight in the Lord? Like, when you're not in church, are you still happy? When you're not in when you're by yourself and no one can see you, are you still rejoicing in the things of God? I mean, delight in the Lord. Everything you do, take joy in it. Take joy in the things that you can do for Christ. In other words, men, go the extra mile with God. Just don't show up. Delight in the Lord. I mean, get excited about the Lord. Embrace the Lord. Take the Lord up in your life. May the Lord be magnified in your life. Delight in him. Delight, oh God, you're my everything. That's what he needs. A lot of people show up for Sunday and Wednesday and sing the songs, give their money. By the way, it's more than that. Let God be every part of your day, every day. Go to bed with the Lord. Wake up with the Lord. How many are still with me? Make God real in your life. Make him real. You know what me and David went out? We went out 2 days the last hour. We're on the church land. I put a couple of goose decoys out there. There's nothing flying over. And we went there 2 days in a row at the end of the day. Never fired our guns because we didn't know how you see a sparrow fly over. But you know what we got so excited about last night? We got caught up in the sunset. I didn't give a flip if a goose came in. We were so... Did anyone see the sunset last night? Oh, my lands, it was off the chart. And here we are supposed to be goose hunting. I guess we're supposed to be goose hunting out there. Couple knuckleheads. Heckle and Jekyll. And we're out there. Look at that sun. I'm very Goose like, hey, Goose, look at that sunset, man. You're missing it.
And we delighted. We delighted in God's creation. And Dave said, Dad, that you taught that book of Romans, the two things about how everyone's, they've got that God conscious. Thank you, that God is inside them. You're born with it, that God is. That's why Hebrews says, he that cometh to God, no, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. People just don't get saved. And then I showed that second thing in Romans, how the creation, the firm and the creation shows forth the handiwork of God. It speaks out for, if you just say, Carl, me and David looked at that sunset last night, and I said to Dave, anybody that says there's no God got to be an imbecile, because that just doesn't happen. There's a creator behind all that. Amen. And so delight thyself in the Lord. And then delight thyself and not just trust him, but delight in the Lord. If you do this, God will give you the desires of your heart. Look what it says there in verse 4. He shall give thee the desires of thine. If you delight in God, he's going to, I kind of wrote this down, those special desires that you pray for and tell God about, they're like a kid going in a candy store. God likes to hand them out. By the way, let me say this to you. When you're really locked into the Lord and your desire and you delight in the Lord, guess what kind of desires you're going to have? That's right. Lord, help me win these people to Christ. Lord, if you really delight in the Lord, your desires, if God's got your heart, you're really delighting in him, your desires are going to be focused on him, not on the world. You won't be saying, Lord, give me a 40-foot cabin cruiser so I can go out fishing in Lake Erie. No, you won't be saying that. There's nothing wrong with you going fishing. There's nothing wrong with you having a cabin cruiser. But if you're really desiring the Lord, delighting the Lord, your desire will be different. Well, preacher, I'm gonna call the bolt soul winning. And every day I'm going to go out soul winning. I'm going to be a fisherman. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Look at verse 5. Commit thy way. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit. We need to fully commit our lives to God. In other words, give it all over to God. When you commit to something, you give it all over to God. You committed to make your house payments every month. Hello? You commit to buy, when you buy a car. I promise, I commit to make a monthly payment on my Chevrolet truck. How many are with me? Trouble is, a lot of Christians, we'll commit for worldly things, but we won't commit to godly things. Commit to put your tithe in every week. It's God's anyways. Commit to give to Faith Promise Missions, because that's special to God. How many are still with me? Commit that you're going to witness to somebody every week. You're not going to let 1 week go by that you don't speak to someone about Christ to. You got to commit some things to God. Commit. Look what it says there in verse 5. Commit thy way unto him. Lord, what do you want me to do? God, here's my life. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my whole my life. I'm committing my whole life to you. Lord, you just show me what you want me to do. And Lord, I'll do it. That's commitment. Trouble is, a lot of times we say we'll commit, and then God shows us what he wants us to do. I don't know I'm going to do that. I didn't think you were going to tell me to do that. Hello? See, it's not our... We get our will in the way all the time. But when we got to get like Jesus, not our will, but thine will. Amen? And when you commit thy will to him, that's when God's going to start using your life. Commit thy will, thy way unto him, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You want to see things happen in your life? You want to see some great things happen in your life? Just commit your life to him. You commit, and you'll see what God can do. But a lot of times people never have a testimony for God because they never committed to God. Lazy-dale Christians don't see much from God. It's those that commit to God to see the hand of God. I got a call last night from Toledo. My nephew Donnie, Barbie's son, Donnie Cox, he has a little baby. They down him. And they called and they said, the baby's blind. I remember when he was first born, they said he wouldn't live. I know some of you prayed for him. I prayed for him. Matter of fact, they put me over the phone. And I prayed with him over the phone. He was down in the Florida at that time. They're back in Toledo now. They're in Toledo now. They were down in Florida. Just a baby about a year old. But they said he wouldn't live when he was born, but he did live. Yesterday he called and said he can't see. You know, I don't have answers for everybody in life. I just know one day it's all going to be made right. I'm going to use her for an example. I hope she don't get mad. Debbie Black is one of the finest Christian ladies I've ever met in my entire life, ever, ever. But she's still sick. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not saved. Things happen. We look up here. The moment sin came into the world, the reason people got cancer, the reason people got high blood pressure is because we're all underneath the sin curse of Adam. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man death, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for of all sin. Every one of us are sinners because we inherited from Adam. And because the wages of sin is what? Yeah. So all people die because all people, no matter if we want to do or not, we sin. And we get sick. We get sick because we got sin. And you know the culprit is it? Debbie got it? You know why I got sugar and high blood pressure and everything else? The whole thing they're giving me. I take about 20 pills a day just for every one of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Because that dirty, rotten Adam in the Garden of Eden subleased us all out. Now we could do better. If I wouldn't eat all the junk that I had, I probably wouldn't get as bad, Brother Buck. But eventually we're all going to come and get it. It stems from him. That baby being blind stems from Adam, not from that baby. And I know God could heal that baby's eyes if he wanted to. Sometimes God gets glory. Remember the blind man? He got glory. He got glory from a blind man. Maybe God will reach. Maybe he'll do something to affect that mom and dad. Or the grandparent. Who knows? You know what? God's ways are past finding out. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. I'm glad one day it's all going to be over. We're going to be shouting. Brother Coolidge, we're going to be jumping up and down. Man, we're going to be in Hallelujah Square. We're going to be having a Baptocostic fit. That's why I have it down here. I'm just getting, you say, wow, you get excited here sometimes. Choir sings. I'm just getting practice for when I get to heaven. Trust us, and he shall bring it to pass. God will do things for us if we'll just commit to him. Then verse 6, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. I like this. and thy judgment as a noonday. Oh, man. God will use your commitment. If you commit to, look at that verse 6 right after verse 5. God will use your commitment to him to bring glory to God. You know, the reason we don't see a lot of things go on in our life, look, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Matthew 5, you can put it in there. Matthew 5, 16 says, ye are the light of the world. Let men see your good works you are the light of the world, Matthew 5:16, I think it is. Let your light so shine bright that men might see your good works and glorify your Father. Thank you. That's what it says in the scripture. Do men see our good works? Do men glorify our Father from what we do? They would if they see commitment in our life. Boy, those people are sold out for God. Boy, those people are committed to God. How many are with me yet? That verse 6 goes with verse 5 about commitment. You really commit, you sell out to God, people will see that in your life, and God will get glory for it. In verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I like that. So we had number one, we had fret not, if you're taking notes. Number two, verse 3. Second one, verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, number 3, delight in the Lord. Fret not, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord. And then here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's the fifth one. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. You know what? Then it says, wait patiently. None of us want to wait patiently. Hello? Brother Harry, your preacher, I am the most horrible guy. I have no patience. I've been a patient, but I have no patience. And by the way, I would not be a patient at Robinson. I would definitely take him to Cleveland Clinic, your sister-in-law. Now, that proved that you guys prayed, because I didn't die at Robinson. That's a miracle itself. Because people go there to die. I want to tell you that. Nice people, though. They love me. I'm glad they got me out of there. Anyways, I shouldn't bring up that. Look what it says there again. Fret not. Are you fretting over things you shouldn't be? Trust. Are you trusting God? Delight. Are you delighting in the Lord? Commit thy way unto him. Are you really selling out to God, committing unto him? And then rest in the Lord. Boy, that, you know, rest. Wait patiently. Look what it says there. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Hurry up. I can't wait. Me and Dave were out. Pastor Dave and I were out there talking about we're actually on the ball field. We're sitting behind that right field pole. We got like a little blind there. We were talking about where all the buildings were going to be for our new future land. And then I showed him. I said, "You see that 10 acres up there? We want to have the Bible college up there and have some dorms, have some maybe some apartments for senior citizens and." We were just mapping that whole place out. We got to wait patiently. That's the hardest thing in life is to wait. I'm waiting on to be raptured out of here. Hello? Hard thing to wait. You know one thing? I know it's better, though. It's better to wait than to move in haste. I think I shared this with you, but I know I've shared this with you before. I'm going to share it again. When I was a young man, young Christian preacher, we didn't have any money. I needed some tires on my car. I had a Sears and Roebuck charge card. And I waited. We kept praying, God, I need tires. I need tires. I just said, I prayed for about 3 or 4 months. And I said, well, Rosie, I'm just going to take you to get the money later.
And God was providing for me. Everything he was providing, he provided the car. Everything I had, he was providing because I was making more money. He was providing our food, and I didn't trust him for the tires. The day after I put those tires on charge, Johnny, my grandma called. Hey, Richie. I heard one of the kids said you needed tires. She was going to buy all new tires for my car. If I would have waited one stinking more day, wouldn't that be perfect? And I said, yeah, Grandma. I couldn't. I know it too, so I finally, I put them on a charge. She says, well, okay. She was going to give me the money, but after I charged them, I was hoping she, Buck, I thought, well, she'll say, well, how much is it, honey? I'll pay your charge card off. I'm going to tell you, old-timers don't believe in charging. The old silver hair, they believe in paying cash. And Brother Chuck, she didn't give me a penny. She was going to bankroll the whole thing. And how sick I felt inside that I didn't wait patiently for God. How many are still with me? And I'm going to tell you something. It's killing me to wait to go on that land. But Bobby, I believe with all my heart God's going to do it someday. I hope I get to see it. I believe I'm going to see it. And Dee mentioned the seed line. Boy, that's another thing I want to do on that. When we get out there, have a regular, I mean, where we print it, do, you know, like we can do it, you know, help other people, Dee. Like, what, a real seed line. We just, when we were here before, we just collated. Is that what you call it? But I want to go beyond that, Dee. I want to, like, whatever they do, run them off or print them or, I don't know, whatever. If we can do more, I want to do more, whatever that is in the seed line. Because people need to get the word of God. Amen? But you know, I got to wait to that day. I got to wait. And sometimes we don't get everything right when we want it. By the way, I think God helps us when we do wait. Because a lot of times I think if we got everything right away, I think we'd squander what he gives to us. Or we'd mess it up. Or we would take it for granted. Brother Carl, when we get out to that land, we see those buildings go up. I'm going to bet you a bunch of us are going to be crying. We're going to see that first. We're going to see those diggers digging those blocks. Going, and I'm going to tell you right now, Arlene, I bet there's going to be a lot of us going to stand out there and just cry. Thank God for that. God, and we're going to say, it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait. Look what it says there. Rest in the Lord. Wait. Rest in the Lord. We don't even want to rest in the Lord. We just want to go, go, go. No, there's a time. There's a time where you just need to rest. Not do nothing. Just rest. That's why a lot of kids, Christians, I think they blow themselves out. They do so much, then they just blow out. There is a time to rest in the Lord. And by the way, if you don't rest in the Lord, I think you'll go out for the Lord, you know. But and then wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Yeah, they've got their building up. Those people don't even believe the Bible's true, and they got their building up. No, just wait. God don't make no mistakes. Amen. The biggest trouble we have is we try to help God out. Abraham and Sarah tried to help God out. So they got Hagar so he could have a son through her. Don't try. God didn't need Hagar. And by the way, Ishmael, he's been, those Arabs have been a pain in their sight ever since. It says that too. And the Bible says he's a wild man. That's why those Arabs are nuts. I hope this don't go worldwide. But they are kind of wild. Rocks and everything each other. Most Americans, we're more refined. We just take a gun and shoot you. We ain't gonna throw a rock.
Wait. Learn to wait patiently for God. Learn to wait. That's our biggest trouble. We don't want to wait. And then lastly, cease. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Boy. I wrote this down. This sixth truth. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. We can't serve, look to me. We can't serve God in the spirit if we let the flesh control our anger and wrath. Look up here. All of us have a fallen flesh. If I let this flesh go in anger, I'm not in the spirit. And if I'm not in the spirit, I can't please God. Are you still with me? When you're in the flesh, when I'm in the flesh, we are not serving God. And we cannot serve God because we're the flesh, it's enmity against God, the Bible says in Romans. It's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. I want to tell you right now, that word enmity is worse than hatred. If you have enmity for someone, you want to kill them. We have to learn to walk in the spirit and control that flesh. Let the spirit have predominance in our life. And so we let that flesh go, that anger. How many of you ever lose their temper? Whew, me too. And you know where I usually lose my temper? Watching sports. I actually told Rosie, and I told her, I came up the other day, and I said, I think I'm not going to watch. I'm not saying I'm never going to watch a game, but I said, I think I'm quit watching Ohio State for. I can't watch them not get mad. I want to turn the head off. I want to twist that head of the coach off. I want to, bust his kneecaps and stuff like that. I just want to hurt him like he hurts me. And so, but that's look up here. I'm just a normal man like you. I have feelings just like you. How many are still with me? And so if that's a part of my life that I don't bring glory to God in, maybe that ought not be a big part of my life. Amen? And so I told Rose, I said, you know what? I even told my son David Richard, I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to watch Ohio State. I'm still going to watch the Browns then, but I'm hoping I can not. I don't expect them to win, but So it's always, it's more easy to take in. But cease from anger. Did you ever get mad at your husband or your wife? Is it a happy home when you guys are mad at each other? It's not, is it? Look, come here with me. If you guys are arguing or brawling or mad at each other, is that a good environment to be in for the kids?
No.
It's not even a good environment for the cat. Get out of here, cat. Sick of you. I'm not feeding you today. I'm mad at her. You're her cat. I'm not going to give you water. Ha, ha, ha. Just not a good place. God, that's right. God does not get glory in that. And so when we let, and by the way, it's easier to get angry. Watching sports is a thing for me. And number two, I can't stand to wait in line at the store. Man, I hate waiting in line at the store. And so those two things. And so if you see me lose my temper, but people actually, they've been just, it must be coming out so bad without me saying something. They just say, go in front of me. I'm thinking, I say, God, you're blessing me. This is great. And like sometimes it's two people. No, you got to go forward. I don't like to wait for trains either, but anything with waiting, I don't like to wait for a lot of stuff. So, to sum up these six things, don't fret, trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, rest in the Lord, and cease from anger. If we could apply these six things, there's a whole lot more in that chapter 37, but those first eight verses are phenomenal. And if we would just practice those eight things that they're trying to teach us there in the first eight verses of Psalms 37, there's six things that if we applied to our life, it would really help us a lot and bless those around us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we had in the Word of God. I pray, dear God, you'll bless our people. Help us to have these six things in our life. Help us to trust you and to lean upon you and commit. Lord, help us not to fret not. And oh, God, help us not to be envious of evildoers. Lord, there's so many things there you showed us. Help us not to have anger. God, help us just to commit everything we have to you and bless our people today, Father. I know they're going through a lot of struggles. They're facing a lot of heartaches. They've got trials in front of them. Help them, Lord. Lord, be with each one tonight. There's some home tonight because they were sick. Be with them. Help them, Father. Heal them up. And bless our people. Give us a great day Sunday, I pray. And Lord, she's here, but would to God, Lord, you'd reach down from heaven. Lord, I wish, would to God, you'd reach down to heaven and touch Debbie. Give her healing through her body. Oh, God. God bless her and Rod and the kids. And Lord, thank you for Deb and Rod. Lord, please heal Debbie up. Please, Father. Give her a healing that only God can give. Help my little nephew down there in Toledo. I seen you open people's eyes up. I personally saw you open people's eyes. Pray that you could open his eyes too. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I wonder if their heads bowed before we leave.